Hello, patrons, and welcome to the post-show video for episode number 11 of Nebula Jazz.
Yeah.
It's always a little hard. Like, I was thinking about this before, and I didn't mention it during the show, but I was thinking about this before, where, like, I feel like this is our episode 10 of an HBO show, where, like, the last one was like, oh, here's a bunch of crazy stuff, like Red Wedding, like, chaos. And it's like, how do you follow that except to dial back a little bit? But with a game like Nebula Jazz, we're at 11 all the time. So dialing back is still like a 9. So I came in with like a few things. I made notes. So before every game, I like go over the notes from the episode before it. And I like make sure there's like continuity stuff I need to know. I'm reminded of it. And then I just like make a bunch of notes about things I think might come up. Just mostly to remind myself of stuff. Like this one, I made a bunch of lore notes, most of which because I wanted to have answers that the librarian would have if you had asked certain questions.
Right.
You didn't ask like 90% of the things I thought you might, which was fun. And then I was just like, okay, here's what all the NPCs in the world want. I'll just let you drive. Which for a role-playing game generally, especially a show that's like a game that's a show, it's a terrifying moment for the GM because sometimes when you're playing with a group and you're like, okay, everybody, I'm not going to push you around this episode. What do you want to do? There's that terrifying moment of like, oh God, please someone say something. Like just someone have a plan or an idea or like something. Like just know what you want. But thankfully with Nebula Jazz, usually it's the opposite. Where I'm like, okay, everybody just slow the fuck down. Give me a second. We got to pick one thing at a time. And I felt like this episode, everybody was just like making shit up as they went, where they were like, oh yeah, this guy is here in this place. This is a thing that's happening. Okay, we see this. This is and there were a lot of times where I could just be like, all right, yep. And then what happens? Okay, cool. And then what happens? And that for me is so much fun. And I feel like everybody was bringing some of that this episode. I really like how y'all seem like, at least to me, more and more comfortable with just jumping to the fore and being like, no, this is the thing. We see this character. This is going on. How does that feel for you? Do you guys still feel like hesitant to do that, or how clear is that boundary between what you're allowed to make up and what you aren't? Like, what does that feel like?
I think it's fun because now either like we're willing to kind of jump in and say, what about this? But you're also willing to be really blunt, like, no, let's not do that. You know, and that happens so rarely. But like, if it's just not going to work, you'll tell us like, that's not going to work. And it's also really satisfying, like if we create a character and then the bouncing back and forth of like creating that character together winds up being exactly what, like when I was thinking of Planor, I literally imagined like rooms with just desks, like nowhere to sit, like just like really plain, like
that you know. To me, that Planor bit felt, because we did, like, I know you were the source of a lot of kind of like lore stuff this episode. Because we, you know, we went through the, like, talking about the slime mother, which I'm super into. But with the Planor thing, that was a thread that I could feel like we tugged on a little. And I was like, no, let's see where this goes. Like, let's keep making this weirder.
Yeah.
And the, like, the Planor agency of, like, a woman who is so assured of her own competence that her only employees are clones of herself feels... Like, it feels just like it's perfect. Like, it was one of those things that I was like, okay, cool. I'm seeing what you're picking up. Let's make it weirder. And we kind of like back and forth that. And I think it fit really nicely into the world. I'm super into when that happens. It's nice when those things occur. Also, like Sam being like, okay, cool. This is where we're going. And instead of being like, is it okay for this to be a place? Just being like, no, it is. I'm just going to say that. And everyone
this is a place.
Just, this is real. Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool. What were your inspirations for that, Sam? Like, where were you coming from when that idea popped in your head?
I was like, I really like this game, but we haven't ever really, like, we've always hit like, oh, this is an enemy from this planet. This is an enemy from this planet. But I'm like, we haven't ever really hit like enemies that are just like space pirates and shit. So I was like, why don't I just like steer the game in a direction where like that kind of stuff can start happening? And maybe we'll get some fun out of it. Just as a change. So I thought if we're going to go to the Outer Rim, that's where the space pirates are going to be. So, it's just like, just thought it'd be fun. That wasn't really any justification for it.
Yeah, well, and that's, and I think that's the thing, is that like there are moments, because we rolled very little, there were very, very few rolls in this session. There are moments where I sometimes feel like maybe I need to like ask for a roll for something, or like spend a fate point or whatever. But I also think that if there's no conflict, the conflict should be on the character level, not on the player level. Like, I shouldn't be, as the GM, be like, no, you can't have what you want unless you win a roll. Like, I'm not right. The fucking devil fiddling for your soul. It's like, no, if you have a cool idea, I'm probably going to just be like, I don't know, cool space tortuga. Fuck it.
You know,
I'm not that attached to any particular outcome. I'm happy to be like, yeah, I could work with that. Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is kind of off topic, but you know what I absolutely loved was that, like, we're starting to, again, sort of together, unravel this weird lore on why on earth these really sweet little slimes that just want to preach about mother slime would be called slime devils colloquially.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's probably because they literally try to turn everything into slimes, right?
Pretty,
like,
because they put living things in acid vats.
They try to dissolve people, right? Like, they come across so sweet, but then they try to dissolve people so that they can become part of Mother Slime. And yeah, like,
it's
how crazy that is.
They just become goop.
Yeah, it's a cult that literally dissolves people in acid and then rockets them into space.
Yeah.
Like, they're horrifying.
You guys thought my people are crazy.
Yeah.
My person, I guess, was crazy. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, lots of lore stuff explored. We talked about this, I think, in the last episode, that's what this episode would be. There'd be a ton of that stuff. It's fun. It's really fun as a GM having like a mysterious thing in the game, like the hybrid and like kind of what's actually going on in the setting. And then watching you take guesses at stuff. Because on the one hand, if you come up with something that's really good, if I haven't already established the truth of the thing, I can be like, yeah, I'm just going to cross that off. This is the new idea. This is better. but also I can be like, I know how things actually are. And then watching you be like, oh, I know this is totally what's happened. And I'm like, uh-huh. Yep. That's, sure.
Yep, you got.
That sounds possible. Why not?
Yeah. I think I messaged you in the break and I was like, all right, as soon as we come back from break, I need a love interest who is a grease monkey who can make me a replica scepter. And you were like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm curious about that like, because I guess the thing that makes there's two levels to the like Rex banging his way across the galaxy thing is that on the one hand, it's a joke because it's like, ah, Rex, you ignorant slut. But on the other on the other hand, it's like, what's the commonality between these characters and what does that teach us about Rex, right? Like, there's this whole deeper, like, you are the people that you love thing, and like Rex's whole like getting involved with these different characters throughout the universe. What does that say about him, and what are the patterns that develop as we make these characters? Because for the most part, aside from Thuja, which Thuja is just kind of my like weird reflection of the way you had been playing Rex, you're the one making these characters up, right? You're telling me, you know, that this is this character. So it's a way for you to tell us things about you.
If we'd have gone to Rex at the end of the episode, and I'll give this to the Patreons, but there was going to be a weird scene where Tula would finish working and she like lifted up her like, you know, like metalworking visor and stuff. And she'd be like, ooh, I think I deserve a break. And then like walked past Rex. And you would have just seen, like, a sigh on Rex's face. Like, he's clearly, like, not into this woman, and he's doing it for the team. And you see her, like,
thanks,
drag
buddy.
Him
Thank
off camera. You.
You
know, like, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
right,
like, it's not always about, like, Rex's animalistic tendencies. Like, sometimes it's just, like, Rex is just like, fuck, I guess this is who I am.
This is a tool
this
in my toolkit.
This is how I contribute, right?
Right. Yeah. Like that it's still, and I mean, for me, if I were watching this, and I guess, you know, I'm both watching and participating in, but if I were watching this, something that would really interest me is like are Thuja and it's exactly the thing we were complaining about Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, are Thuja and Rex going to get together? Are they not? Are they in love? Like watching that play out as the game goes on is eternally fascinating and hilarious to me. Like I'm just enjoying it so much. I like that we're able to have characters kind of flow in and out of the game too. Like they can show up for a scene and then disappear, like Dango. Poor heartbroken Dango the magician.
Yeah, but he's gonna come back and he's gonna go after Eugene.
Oh yeah, he hates Eugene now. How dare you, Eugene?
Big ripped collar popping Eugene.
Someone said it's like that from Legends. That's how he views you. This giant blob that just buff up here.
Yeah, man. That's how I view myself. So.
Right. Yeah. What I think makes this kind of thing interesting is that, like, you can do like a Gonzo Chaos all the time, but it gets tiresome, right? If you don't have things like tying it together and having the characters retain a level of reliability, right? And we want to learn about them so they can, like, they change over time, but they're still like, Quinn is always going to be Quinn. We're going to see different aspects of Quinn, but Quinn is like reliably a certain way. Same with like Eugene and Aurora and Rex, is that we're able to look at these characters as sort of the center of our universe, so the universe itself can be quite chaotic. And I think that this episode was good for bringing us back to that place of being like, yes, you're in this storyline from the beginning, and you're curious about why you're being hassled by the Empire, and like, what's that about? And so I think we can kind of lean into that and explore the characters through the bad things that are happening to them. And that gives us space to have the universe be like wacky and kind of random around that stability, which is super cool. Jesse, it sounds like you have a plan here, right? Like you're gonna draw everybody to the slime ghetto, and then what?
All I want to do is
I don't actually understand his.
Yeah, I would like to.
No one knows what Jesse's planning except Jesse.
Yeah. So what I would like to do is get all these people who are coming to get whatever we have, whatever we're going to give them, in one place. It's real simple. I just want to get them all in one place so that not only does it have the I guess air of an actual auction, like, yes, hey, we're going to auction off this thing, because that's what we said we were going to do. Mm-hmm. And then rather than have us appear before them, because they don't think we want ourselves to be completely and totally, like, we don't, our picture's not in the ad. Like, we didn't anything. So I just want to see who shows up, and then rather than us appear and be like, haha, we fooled you all, I just want the slimes to come and be like, hi. Have you heard about slimes?
You're going to use them as a distraction.
Yeah, that's it. It's real. Oh, so it's not like,
yeah, they're going to be all over causing chaos for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, I don't have like a grand scheme. It's literally just, I want to see who shows up. And then rather than us be like, all right, cool. Rather than no one be there, I want to see the reaction to a bunch of slimes. That's just for me, for fun. So I just want to see a bunch of slimes come out and like freak them out. That's all.
Who are you expecting to show up to this thing?
I don't know. That's why I am setting up that
out of character, like Jesse, if you were to imagine the parties that are arriving, like, you know, who are you expecting to be in that scene?
Space one would pirates, imagine, yeah, scumbags.
Yeah. Right, Gagarins. So some general trash interested Gagarins in doing what you're doing, right? And reselling.
What I'm looking for is the not general trash. Yeah. The reason why I want them all gathered together is I as a hacker jacker would know who is a pirate, who is a jacker, who is a smuggler, who is this, who is that. And then the difference between, like, oh, that guy is a freaking Mangasi general. Like, oh, shit. Okay. That's who we should be following when all this, when the slimes come out and they're like, hey, everyone. And he's like, oh, F this, and is out. That's the guy we should be following. Like, that's the person we should be tracking. And, like, stuff like that. It's trying to pinpoint who we really should be going after.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's how we get our answers.
I think that's going to be a great scene too, like having all those characters there. I've got lots of interesting stuff that I can throw in. And the other thing too is like take a moment between sessions and look at each other's aspects, because that's another great opportunity to compel each other to be like someone you know, or you know, a certain thing might happen during that scene, because it's so ripe with like random crowd that you could pull pretty much anything out of it, which I think is interesting. I've got some ideas that are solidifying around kind of what's going on outside of the characters, but this has been the first episode where I've really been able to give you some answers about some things. What's the prevailing theory as a group? What do you think is the deal with the hybrid? Like, what, tell me what your theory is. And I'm curious mostly because I know the truth and I want to hear what you think.
I have so little clue that I thought you were hinting that Thuja was the hybrid. So that's literally how little of a clue I have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when you handed it to her, I was like, I don't think it's her, but it would be interesting.
I thought that's what you were hinting at. I literally have so little clue who it could be or what it could be. I would assume at its base level, although you said she was young, I thought it was going to be the woman that we saw in all the photos and all that stuff. I was like, oh, well, that's the hybrid. But then you said that her age was younger, and I was like, oh, well, then I have no idea who this is. But maybe it's her. I don't know. But that's the literally the only other named character we haven't seen, like, much of.
Right. This, yeah, so the character Jesse is referring to, in case folks don't remember, is she was in a picture.
Yeah.
And she's got
and
a connection.
And everybody was like, is the prince dating someone?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The prince has been seen with this, like, mysterious woman. Yeah. That's right. We haven't seen her yet.
I mean, when I asked him about it, he didn't fucking know anything about it, so.
Yeah, which is why I
But remember, it's not the actual prince. It's, like, the prince's.
It's you.
Yeah,
it's
and
like
that's done.
That stunt
that you took, Sam, will get every time you use it, it will get stronger, right? As his cellular stuff mingles with yours, and that sounded dirty. And then you become more like one entity. Right now, it's mostly like a slight influence on your thinking pattern, but you'll get more and more access to his stuff as your character digests slowly over 1,000 years. That as you slowly, like, incorporate the prince's material into your mind, you'll be able to get more and more access to that.
So, like, my assumption, which I kind of got through Eugene earlier, is that there's this hybrid that is part Mengasi, part human. It probably was a complete accident. I would
you
assume
don't know that.
I don't know that, but this is, he's asking what we think happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, if there's a hybrid of a human and a Mengasi, probably the only way that baby would have been born is if the human was the one who gave birth to it, maybe secretly. Somehow the Mengasi found out about it, and now the ones who are like, no, the purity of our race, are like trying to kill it, I assume. So then, like, at this point now, at the end of the episode, I'm thinking she's probably not the one who killed the prince. But, like, maybe she and the prince were, like, commiserating about something in that room before he was killed, and we still don't know who killed him. That's kind of where I'm at, story-wise.
But Thuja knows her, which means she's a piece of shit, because that's all Thuja knows.
Wow, that's some ex-boyfriend talk right there.
Hey, as Rex, I'm telling you, Thuja don't know nice people.
Well, if the hybrid is being chased down by the Mengasi, right, and like fucking hates them now, why not go to one of the other huge superpowers and say, like, I'm like a weird disgrace on the whole Mengasi line, and I want your help to, like, basically take them down because they're fucked up and they don't deserve to own the universe, essentially, right? Like, why not go to the Allegans?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's
a human that drank Mengasi blood.
Are you saying it's another? It's a you.
It's like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that might be worth looking into, and this was part of the like the notes that I made in case you were gonna ask the library about this. One thing might be worth looking into is that history between the Agara and the Mengasi, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think, to your point, Dodger, the connection between the two is significant. Like, they were at war for a while, but we don't. In fiction, we don't know what that war was about, why it right. happened. They used to be allies. Everybody knows that, but then they weren't. So yeah, something to consider. Mm. Cool. Well, we'll continue. We'll continue unfolding the great mystery as we play. I'm really curious to see how you pull off the great scepter swap caper.
Me too.
Yeah. So definitely tune in next time. We'll see how that goes. Thanks, everybody. We'll schedule the episode, and we'll post when it is. And we'll see you there. Thanks for a good show, y'all. See you next time.
Bye, buddy.